RadioIslam.com. Yusuf Islam on Diseases of the Heart.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأزلفت الجنة للمتقين غير بعيد هذا ما توعدون لكل أواب حفيظ من خشي الرحمن بالغيب وجاء بقلب منيب ادخلوها بالسلام ذلك يوم الخلود. And the garden is brought close for those who kept from evil, no longer distant. And it is said, that is that which you were promised. It is for every repentant and heedful one who fears the Rahman in secret and comes with a contrite heart. Enter it in peace. This is the day of immortality. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters in Islam, subject which I can't remember if it was myself who chose it or whether it was given to me, but the subject is the diseases of the heart and its solution in Islam. This subject is, of course, very deep because it is concerning the heart. And first we have to ask ourselves, what is this thing called the heart? From all that we read in the Quran, it appears that the heart is the seat of human consciousness. It is the controller of the person. The heart is either a house of hate or of love, of peace or of war, of good or of evil, happiness, sadness, truth or falsehood, sickness or health. The heart, in other words, is one of the most important faculties which distinguishes the human being, because it is able to experience opposites. And if we read the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this, he said, that which is lawful is plain and that which is unlawful is plain, and between the two of them are doubtful matters about which not many people know. Thus he who avoids doubtful matters clears himself in regard to his religion and his honor. But he who falls into doubtful matters falls into that which is unlawful, like the shepherd who pastures around a sanctuary, all but grazing therein. Truly every king has a sanctuary, and truly Allah's sanctuary is his prohibition. Truly in the body there is a morsel of flesh which, if it be whole, all the body is whole, and if it be diseased, all of it is diseased. Truly it is the heart. Therefore the heart is the seat of human consciousness. How we behave, how we treat ourselves and others is coming from the heart. Today, of course, we have numerous specialists and doctors and experts whose job it is to take care of this fleshy heart and who concentrate on giving people help to the heart. But we are not, of course, talking today about the diseases, the fleshy diseases of the heart. but the spiritual diseases. These diseases, we could name a few of them. The major disease, of course, being kufr, disbelief. Doubt is another disease. Cowardice, pride, arrogance, conceit, envy, jealousy, anger, or unfounded anger. All diseases of the heart. So Islam has a cure for all these diseases. People today, especially in the West, are proud of themselves being so advanced in matters of technology and science and medicine. And they can perform all kinds of feats and transplant even the heart. But when it comes to the overall fundamental diseases of man, his overall behavior, doctors have no cures. Science, as it is practiced today, ignores the spiritual condition of man. It ignores the morality. It has no answers for what should be. So therefore, we find that Islam addresses this question about the diseases of the heart. The first thing Islam does is it purifies the heart, cleanses the heart, which is the first job. Secondly, it fills the heart with the light of truth. And thirdly, it guides it continuously to the highest goal. These three things we can see in the kalima. First, it cleans the heart when we say La ilaha. There is no God. We are wiping clean our consciousness from false ideologies and concepts. Any idea that we may have, preconception, we wipe it when we say La ilaha. And then we fill it with the truth. We say Illallah. There is no God, no deity, no power, except Allah. And then we guide the heart when we say, Muhammad Rasulullah. Our hearts now have to conform to guidance, plain and simple. The example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Islam purifies the heart, fills it with truth and guides it. Simply by this saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Inshallah, I'll read some more verses from, this is from Surah Al-An'am, the cattle, verses 125 to 127. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ كذلك يجعل الله الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون وهذا صراط ربك مستقيما قد فصلنا الآيات لقوم يذكرون لهم دار السلام عند ربهم وهو وليهم بما كانوا يعملون. صدق الله العظيم. And whoever it is Allah's will to guide, He expandeth his heart to Islam. And whomsoever it is His will to stray, He makes his bosom close and narrow as if he were engaged in sheer ascent. Thus Allah left ignominy upon those who believe not. This is the path of thy Lord, a straight path. We have detailed our revelation for people who take heed. For them is the abode of peace with their Lord. He will be their protecting friend because of what they used to do. So, when Allah wishes to guide someone, He opens their heart to Islam. What is Islam? For of course, we know what is Islam, for most of us are Muslims. We know that the human being has been created to worship Allah, and that is the sole objective of our creation. Now we are either guided in our life to worship and adore the true Lord, or we are turned to other things and false deities. Most of the diseases of the heart begin here. When we are diverted from worshipping Allah or from remembering Him, this is where it begins. Because once we start to take another direction, once our hearts turn to something else, in fact what we are doing is following our own desires. We are starting to worship ourselves. Thus it's easy for the first major sin, which is disbelief, to occur. The first major disease. Then of course quickly follows pride. And then quickly envy and anger. All diseases come when we have diverted our hearts from the worship and remembrance of Allah. Then a person will start to think of himself as superior, because he is now following his own way. He finds it difficult to stand in a queue. He believes that he should be first. He believes he has even a special station. He believes in Allah. He believes he has a special station with Allah. That means that he won't be punished, because he is special, superior. He thinks he is wise and others are ignorant. These are some of the symptoms which we should recognize within ourselves. If we have these symptoms, we have this disease of the heart. And in fact, this person can then lose all hope in paradise, because we know that a person who has pride cannot enter to paradise. For Islam is the cleansing of the heart, the cure. Basically, the cure for all these diseases comes in two forms. The first cure is the knowledge cure. Regardless of the fact you may be born Muslim, you may have a Muslim name, you're still not insured or assured of cure until you develop your knowledge. Certainly a doctor, when he is treating a patient, doesn't just suddenly stick his hand in the pill cupboard and pull something out. He knows what he is going for. He has recognized the disease and he knows which medicine should be applied. Even though I don't think it's a parallel situation, because most doctors don't know the harm that they're doing by giving most medicines. But as a parallel analogy, first we must know, have knowledge. Second, we must have action. Both these are the cures. The first is the knowledge cure. First, you have to recognize yourself There's a saying that he who recognizes himself, who knows himself, he knows Allah, he knows God. How is that? First, you can recognize yourself by thinking about your past. What were you before? You were a drop of sperm. It says in the Quran, if I can find the verse, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلِقَ مِمَّا إِنْ دَافِقٍ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ إِنَّهُ عَلَى رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٌ يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ. Says, so let man consider from what he is created. Created from a gushing fluid that issued from between the loins and the ribs. Lo, he verily is able to return him to life on the day when hidden thoughts shall be searched out. So think that we came from this drop. Then we became a blood clot, something filthy, that if you get it in your clothes, you will be start washing it. This was our beginning. When we had no hearing, we couldn't hear, and we couldn't see, and we had no hearts even at that time, no feeling. We were dead. What could be lower than this? Then we were given life. We were weak as babies before we gained strength. Before we were able to walk, we had to be carried. Our nappies had to be changed. We were given food. We were ignorant before we started learning. We knew nothing. And then we started learning. We were taught. We were poor. We had no money, nothing, before we started acquiring wealth. So think of your past. Think how insignificant you are. Then you can turn your mind to the future and consider what's going to happen to you. Your certainty is you're going to die again. You're going to be dead once more. Then again, you will be helpless, lifeless. You won't hear. You won't see. You won't feel. Although there are some descriptions of the punishment in the grave, yet the point is you will be not doing anything. You will be in darkness. Your companions will be worms. So, how can we be proud? How can we hold ourselves up to be something? How can we be envious when we already have so much? As it says in the Quran, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتٌ فَيُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. It says, how can you disbelieve in the Almighty, the one with power, when you were dead and he gave you life? Then he will give you death again, and then life again, and then to him you will be returned. This is the knowledge cure, that if we remember these things, our past and our future, we will start to think twice about our position, about considering ourselves important. That will be stepping towards the cure. As far as actions are concerned, Islam is built on five pillars. All of those pillars develop the action cure. We start to serve and worship Allah. When we pray, we are physically submitting ourselves, bowing and prostrating. When we give zakah, we start to feel grateful for whatever we have been given, and we start to feel concern for others who are not as fortunate. We start to see ourselves as in need to give this money. Not that it is charity, but it's duty, it's unburdening ourselves. When we fast, we start to feel again the gift of food and how it is to feel hunger. When we make Hajj, even if you're a king, of course today we know the king, he has a separate system for Hajj. But really, the real Hajj, you become one with your brothers in harmony, and there's no one above anyone else. Again, all these pillars of Islam bring us to this same point. Equality before God, only taqwa being the distinguishing mark. When we look in the Quran, we find so many verses about Bani Israel, the Jews. Why do we find so much written about them? Perhaps we haven't thought that the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, didn't just hear these verses to bang the Jews or to keep on punishing them. They are being punished. But it serves for us as a reminder. And we need a parallel between Muslims today and the Jews. What is the distinguishing mark that we see about the Jews? They are proud. Proud, why? Because they are Jews. They were given the message. They were God's chosen people. Therefore, they were blessed. They have a special position with Allah. Don't we see the parallel? So therefore, we must look also at ourselves and think, how much do we esteem ourselves? Regardless of the fact we don't do anything, we don't have the right knowledge, we don't seek the right knowledge, yet we believe that we are automatically saved as Muslims. How easy it is for shaitan. How easy it is for shaitan to divert someone who is in that frame of mind. That shaitan was expelled, cursed, not because he didn't believe, not because he didn't say La ilaha illallah, because he knew. What was it? It was pride. That he said, I am better than that one. Look at them. We are Muslim. They're better. He was disobedient. That was his next major sin. The pride came and then he disobeyed. He said, I don't have to do this. I don't have to bow. So kufr is not just disbelief. It's ingratitude and disobedience. As it says in the Quran, we read it in Surah Al-Ma'idah. It says Allah sent the Torah, and it mentions how it was guidance and a light. Then sent the Gospel, and it was guidance and a light. And then sent the Quran. And it continuously says, those who do not judge, who do not act upon the guidance which is sent, they are kafir. Meaning, not to practice the ayahs of Quran is a major tragedy. Just because we read it for thawab, it doesn't mean we're going to be automatically saved from because of the ayahs which are contained. That's where the knowledge and the action have to come in. One has to know what one is reading, understand it and its implications, and then act upon it. So the Quran is a cure, as it says, shifa. But not just reading, means understanding and practice. Now today, we have what? In the Muslim world, I as a new Muslim see it, obviously, clearly. We have alims fighting each other, saying, I am better than you in knowledge, in Islamic knowledge. What can be more paradoxical than an alim who says that I am the one who has the knowledge, therefore you should follow me? Is this the example of the Sahaba? All had equal knowledge, we can see, almost equal knowledge. But no one was saying, I'm better than you. It says in the Quran, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So race in good things, it means in good deeds. It doesn't mean race to be the leader. In fact, the opposite. We find anyone who wants to be a leader, discontinued, discounted. It says race in good deeds, in good things. So now if we start to think that we as Muslims, just because we have the Quran, and in it we know it has the guidance, just because of that we are saved, we are wrong. We must understand that Islam is a verb, first and foremost. It is active. It's not a noun that you stamp on your head. It is a verb. Primarily, it is submissive, obedience, discipline. Inshallah, we'll read some verses and we'll see from this how important it is to judge by what the Quran says. It's from Surah An-Nisa, verses 60 to 63. This is very much also for our condition, living in a non-Muslim society or living in any society that is not run according to Islamic principles and law. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر إلى الذين يزعمون أنهم آمنوا بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك يريدون أن يتحاكموا إلى طاغوت وقد أمروا أن يكفروا به ويريد الشيطان أن يضلهم ضلالا بعيدا وإذا قيل لهم تعالوا إلى ما أنزل الله إلى وإلى الرسول رأيت المنافقين يسدون عنك سدودا فكيف إذا أصابتهم مصيبة بما قدمت أيديهم ثم جاءوك يحلفون بالله إن أردنا إلا إحسانا وتوفيقا أولئك الذين يعلم الله ما في قلوبهم وأعرضوا عنهم وعظهم وقل لهم في أنفسهم قول بليغا. صدق الله العظيم. Hast thou not seen those who pretend that they believe in that which is revealed unto thee, and that which was revealed before thee? How they would go for judgment in their disputes to false deities, when they have been ordered to abjure them. Satan would mislead them far away. And when it is said to them, come unto that which Allah hath revealed, and unto the Messenger. Thou seest the hypocrites turn from thee with aversion. How would it be if a misfortune smote them because of that which their own hands have sent before them? Then they would come unto thee swearing by Allah that they were seeking naught but harmony and kindness. Those are they, the secret of whose hearts Allah knows. So oppose them and admonish them and address them in plain terms about their souls. It then continues, substantially, it continues about offering yourself to fight in the way of Allah. So many times today we hear that the word jihad has been reduced to this meaning of making effort, jihad nafs. Actually, jihad nafs is much bigger jihad. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said. When you are in battle, it's much easier because you are directed clearly, your target is obvious, clear, your enemy is clear. But when you come away from the battlefield, you can't see your enemy. Then automatically, as we heard today, even your family in your own house become your enemy, may become your enemy, because they are deterring you from that sacrifice. So it says, continuing after, it says, and if we decreed for you, for them, to lay down your lives, or to go forth from your homes, but few of them would have done it. Though if they did what they were ordered to do, it would be better for them and more strengthening. So why are Muslims weak today? Because very few are laying their lives. Everyone wants to secure his position, and yet no one is willing to sacrifice for it. So the major illness we can see, it is disregarding the ayahs of Quran, or ayahs in particular, as it says in Quran many times, that they turn away from Allah's signs. They turn away, they disregard them, they disbelieve in them, or they doubt in them. Therefore, the major cure must come from the study of the Quran in its true study. As it says in the Quran, do they not ponder the Quran, or are there locks on their hearts? So when you read the Quran, realizing that this is from your Lord, this is not just a minor dictate, this is not just a letter from a friend, you must be committed to try and follow the Quran in whatever it says. And that involves Jama'ah. No way can someone follow the Quran alone. Therefore, in the Quran is the cure for the individual, for the family, for the society, and for the world. We know that Shaitan is going to whisper into the hearts and to try and make you to think that this is difficult. This is too much. But nothing is too much. This is a doubt. And this is cast into your heart by the Shaitan. Therefore you have to reject it. And if you want, as you can see from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, leave that which makes you doubt for that which does not make you doubt. So when you get to that, go to something that you have no doubt about. And we must remember that the Prophet ﷺ never lied, and his promise is true. So, why should we be worried? Today in the West, especially, we find Muslims are using reason and science to argue on behalf of Islam. And that's not bad. We must use reason. But as somebody explained it, reason in a way also has a limit. As if he said, reason is like a vehicle. It will get you to your destination, it will drive you to your home. But you don't go into the house with this vehicle. You leave the vehicle at the door and you enter the house. That is iman. Therefore, reason at a certain point is useless. Iman then takes over. Once you have been convinced of Islam, then have faith. Doesn't mean that you will not plan. You will plan, but knowing that the final result is not in your hands. We read often that verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَقُوا اللَّهِ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Says, O you who believe, be conscious of Allah and let the soul think for what it is sending for tomorrow. But be conscious of Allah. So you can interpret what you sent for tomorrow as being the Akhirah. And it is, of course. But at the same time, it has a very practical meaning. It gives us guidance. How to prepare for tomorrow. The children today. You're saying we believe in the Quran. But how are you practically teaching your children, sending them tomorrow into the world? Even some workers for Islam, they are working so hard, they destroy themselves too quickly, they abandon their family, and they are doing the work of Islam. But it says, let the soul look for what is sending tomorrow. Better to go to sleep early and wake up early than to go to sleep late talking about Islam and then missing your Fajr. Therefore, we can see it in a very practical way. Look for what we are sending tomorrow. If you like to wake up with your house nice and clean, you have to do some work the night before, leave yourself enough room, enough energy, and then you find the next day something waiting for you. It's a practice also for our akhirah. When we are doing things, we will become trained to ensure that we are not taking just the short-term goods of this life, but we know that, there's a day coming, this will be more useful for that day. Take from your life for your death. So if we study, inshallah, Islam and study the Quran, surely we will find the answers. All the diseases which we mentioned, the science of the heart, doubt, pride, envy, anger, cowardice, we can find the cures are in their opposites. Faith, opposite to doubt. Humbleness, opposite to pride. Means, of course, humbleness with believers. There's a different aspect when it comes to disbelievers. Generosity, opposite to envy. Forgiveness, opposite to anger. And bravery, opposite to cowardice. We must try to develop these qualities within ourselves. And Islam is the science. If we study it and try to derive from it the benefits, look for what we are searching, look for the cure, we will find it in Islam. But if you expect the Mahdi to come and carry you in his caravan, then surely we'll be waiting too long. The people must be prepared before Mahdi can come. There must be a group. So let us ask Allah to help us in our deen and guide us to higher realms of faith and action, and forgive us for our shortcomings and all of us. And I'm the first one to say, are weak, da'if, and we pray to Allah for strength and tawfiq. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
RadioIslam.com